greetings as we read some scriptures for him. And would you like to turn, please, to Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And verse 33 to verse 43. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And a second reading, please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 1 to verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. And one verse from the book of the Revelation chapter 2, one verse only, from Revelation chapter 2, and verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And may the Lord be pleased to add his own blessing to the public reading of his word this afternoon.
I want to talk to you today about, as you say, a most unpopular subject. If I were in Ireland, I would hear the good brethren saying that they were waiting for the uptaker and not the undertaker. And they mean, of course, by that they're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And they're not waiting for dying. I'm going to talk to you this afternoon about dying. Because, you see, while it is true, rightly true, that every one of us here today are longing for the return of the Lord Jesus. We long to hear the shout that will call us away to meet him in the air, to be forever with the Lord. You know, in recent years, many of my friends have gone to be with Christ. They were good men, godly men, You know some of them personally. And they were all expecting the Lord Jesus to come. And I think a lot of them were thinking that they might be still alive when the Savior came. They were expecting him daily. But they've gone home. That tells me this, that there's a possibility for all of us. But the Lord might will that we wait until the moment of his coming. But he might take us home by way of death. We're not afraid to talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus, are we? Fills our hearts with joy. We shrink away from the idea of talking about saints passing away. And yet over the many years of our lives, we have known so many godly men and women waiting for the Savior to return from heaven. One by one, they've gone home. So we know a lot about the rapture. So I think we do. We know very, very little about what the Bible terms passing to be with Christ, which is far better. I'm going to talk to you about that a little while, about what the New Testament says about dying. We read three passages in the New Testament scriptures, and passages that will be very helpful to our souls. First of all, in the Gospel according to Luke, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Second Corinthians, I knew a man caught up into paradise. Revelation chapter 2, our brother has read to us from the leaf of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So I find that paradise is a New Testament word, not found in the Old Testament. So you've Eden there, and you've many paradises, shall we say, in the pleasure gardens of Nebuchadnezzar and so on. The word itself is not used in the Old Testament, but it is used in the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus was there upon the cross. Dear man hanging beside him, a man with a criminal record. First of all, he was rebellious and derided and scoffed with his fellow criminal, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he changed. Becoming conscious of his guilt and the eminence of his going into eternity to meet God, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Savior said a remarkable expression, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Notice please, his reply was, today, this very day. Was, I suppose, when he said it, somewhere between 9 o'clock and 12 noon. And that day would finish at 12 o'clock, at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Only a few hours to go. The thief was still alive upon the cross when the Lord Jesus died, wasn't he? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Only 3 more hours to go, from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock. But the Savior's words are very concise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Not as some have suggested, I say unto thee today, pause. But I say unto thee that today thou shalt be with me in paradise, continuing through, today. We learn first of all then, that there is no period of time, there is no gap of oblivion, there is no soul sleep. The moment the dear man closed his eyes to earth, he opened them in the presence of the Savior, this very day. This very moment, this very time, the man had only just, so we say, trusted Christ as Savior. Had never had the privilege of walking the pilgrim road here below. He would never have the privilege of so doing. The Savior said these comforting words to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He said to me this, the very moment you and I close our eyes, the scenes around us, scenes of earth grow strangely dim. We're going out into eternity. the very moment that we sever connections with this world, to die, shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, the thrill of it. No such thing in the Bible as soul sleep. No such thing in the Bible as an anxious period of waiting. No such thing in the Bible as a prolonged period of oblivion nothingness. To know the presence of Christ during life here, life come to an end and that very moment, to die, shalt thou be with me in paradise. What an answer to the question. For the thief on the cross had said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Looking back with hindsight from our day, we say 2,000 years. 2,000 years approximately between the time when the Savior was speaking on the cross and the moment when he would burst through the heavens and come in his kingdom. This man was intelligent in the Old Testament scriptures. He didn't know anything about the rapture, of course, but he didn't know from the Old Testament scriptures that the Son of Man was going to come in the clouds of heaven with great glory. He recognized the Messiah would one day, as Job taught, stand upon the earth. Realizing that, he looked forward into the future. It might be a long way off for him. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Savior said, in effect, not in 2,000 years' time, not after a prolonged period of waiting, but today, this very day. So there's no period of soul sleep in our unclosed state. And there's no such thing in the Word of God as an intermediate body. The very moment our souls, as it were, vacate this clay form in which we live, that very moment, we'll hold the King in all his beauty, his gaze upon the lovely face of Jesus, today, this very day. Maybe someone here, you're dreading death. One wouldn't say, well, one would be happy about sometimes the pains of death. I'm no doctor. I'm not talking about the pains that may accompany some illness that we might pass through before we go into eternity. I do know this. The very person, the very moment a person ceases to breathe here, live here, as far as this world's concerned, they're gone. That very moment, they see the King in all his beauty, gazed upon the lovely face of the Lord Jesus. I remember dear old Faraday, often quote him, not many folk alive now who knew him. He was writing to a sister who had recently lost her husband. He said, my dear sister, I envy your husband. He has seen the face of Jesus, and I have not. How sublime is that? That our loved ones who have passed on, shall we say, passed on before, we sadly miss them. Their places can't be filled again, but they've seen the King in all his beauty. They have beheld the lovely face of the lovely Lord Jesus today. Today. Got it? Get into your soul, my dear sister. You're feeling alone. That loved one of yours saw the Lord Jesus the very moment he slipped into eternity. Through of both brethren and sisters alike. Today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. This is what the Savior said. The dear dying thief talked about a kingdom. Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. King over the kingdom. Subjects in a kingdom. All the organization of a kingdom. That filled the mind of this dear man. He could only think about a kingdom in which he would be at the most a very subordinate person in the kingdom. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom, not into thy kingdom, in thy kingdom, coming down from heaven, having received for himself a kingdom and to return, coming in his kingdom. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Jesus said, to die, shall thou be with me not in a kingdom, but in paradise. You think of a kingdom, most of us would have a very subordinate place in a kingdom. We have not been as loyal to our Lord as we should have been to have one of those places of authority in the kingdom. The Lord didn't say anything about the kingdom. He said, to die thou shalt be with me in paradise. Lovely. And you think of what paradise means. For while the word paradise is not used in the Old Testament scriptures, the word paradise means a pleasure garden. The garden of delight. You go back to the book of Genesis to get God's first paradise delight. And in that paradise, you remember, he made a nest for the man. And everything was lovely and sublime. Trees, the foliage, the color, the scent, everything that was there. River running through it. Almost Psalm 23, there in picture, in Genesis chapter 2, paradise. And everything in that paradise sublimely suited to suit the man and the woman that he was putting into that paradise. A delightfulness, a place where they were perfectly at home. Said the Savior, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm not suggesting there's trees in heaven, or flowers in heaven, or fruit in heaven. Not suggesting anything what heaven or paradise is like. There's a paradise up yonder that will be just as thrilling to our souls as the Eden of old was as thrilling to the bodies of Adam and Eve. They were natural, and a sphere that suited their natural appetites, not sinful appetites, their natural appetites had been prepared for them, and they were perfectly at home in it. Said the Savior, today, thou shalt be with me not in a kingdom, but in paradise. And there is a paradise up yonder, where there is everything in it that is calculated to fill our souls with joy. Thou shalt thou be with me in paradise. And just as I sometimes sit and think how wonderful it must have been to be in Eden, in that paradise, without an element of sin or decay or suffering or anything like that that has become common in creation today. So freed from this world altogether, our souls will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Is everything calculated to thrill our souls? Then when we see the Savior's face, we'll be there. Paradise. Paradise. God's pleasure garden. He planted a garden in Eden. Can I use the terminology? He's planted a garden up there in heaven. Planted a garden up there in heaven where everything will be just as suitable to our souls as Eden of old was suitable for the bodies of Adam and Eve. Today, shalt thou be with me in paradise? That's what the Savior said. Today, shalt thou be with me. With me. Not if I think about the kingdom to which I, and I suppose you belong to the same kingdom in your country. Well, I belong to a kingdom. I've never seen the Queen. She's never heard my name. While I'm there on some kind of list in the computers, I'm a very ordinary person in the kingdom, and I'll never be with a Queen. But the Savior says, today shalt thou be with me. With me in the closest communion. With me in the happy enjoyment of love. With me in the place where now consequent upon resurrection there's fullness of joy. With me. With me. Think of being so close to the Savior. almost like John, to pillow our heads upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus. With Mary, resting on his breast, resting in his presence. Nothing to disturb, nothing to ever take us away from that place of close communion with himself. Today, shall thou be with me in paradise. Where is this place called paradise? Somebody whispers up a Hades. Never found it in the book yet. Paradise is the word in the Bible. Paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Paul uses the word in the second epistle to Corinthians. He says, I knew a man. You say, well, that was the apostle Paul, and I agree with you. I knew a man 14 years ago, very early in Paul's public ministry for God. I knew a man 14 years ago. Notice, please, watch your prepositions now. It says he was caught up to the third heaven. He was caught up into paradise. There's a difference between the two. To, you could come to Vancouver. You could come to Scotland. It means you come and you touch its shores. You come to. But you come into, they taught me when I tried to learn French at school, that into meant inside with the lid shut. Into. Notice, please, he got into paradise, but only to the third heaven. Any difference? He got into one. He got to the other. You can see the third heaven's the sanctum of God. Agree with me, the third heaven is that prepared place in the Father's house. Agree with me, in that sanctum, you and I are going to one day enter in at the rapture. In my Father's house are many places to live. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He got to that. He was caught up to the third heaven. It says he was caught up into paradise. So I judge he got into the place where the departed saints of God. He got into the place where the Lord Jesus is. Of course, he's in heaven and in paradise. But got into the place where the Lord Jesus is. So that when the New Testament says to depart to be with Christ, which is far better, it most means close contact with the Savior, far closer contact with the Savior than you and I could ever experience on earth. Caught up into paradise. Caught up to the third heaven. I'm going too far when I suggest the idea of the third heaven is like the great big house. Paradise is like the garden round it. A pleasure garden. And he got into the pleasure garden, but he didn't get into the house. When was it you say? Well, I don't know exactly. You can guess as well as me. When it was that he had this experience when he didn't know. But he knew he'd been caught up to the third heaven. He'd been caught up into paradise. It's an experience that he will never forget. Let's examine it a bit more closely. He says, I knew a man 14 years ago, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. That means he didn't know whether he was that side or this side. He didn't know whether he was in eternity or time. Somehow or other, the passing over had been so easy, he says, I don't know if I was still in the body or whether I was out of the body. So is that important? I think that's lovely. The moment may come for you and I when we pass into eternity. Afraid of it? Some jolt? Some uncanny feeling? some rigorous experience, the passing of time into eternity. No, says Paul, I don't know whether I was that side or this side. The passing over was so easy. There was no jolt, no disturbance, nothing to be afraid of. I don't know if I was one side or the other. I like that. Many of us, if the Lord doesn't come, will pass into eternity. Afraid of the jolt. Afraid of an experience we've not passed through before. Uneasy as we think of going from time into eternity where things will be absolutely changed. The passing over is so easy. He never felt a jolt. He didn't know whether it was that side or this side. It was so easy. That lovely. Take away the dread, away the death. The passing over so easy. Didn't know which side he was. Might have been dead, might have been still alive. Whether in the body or out of the body. And he says it twice over. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Our loved ones have gone over. Or you watch as they experience maybe some pain. Or maybe they were snatched from you by some accident. But the moment of the passing over, there was no uncanny jolt. No fearful experience. The one who was the subject of Psalm 23 said, when I pass through the valley where dead death casts its shadow, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What's it like? What's it like? You know, the passing into that sphere of Paul where he'd actually passed over where he was this side, he had a terrific experience. So he talks in the passage, 2 Corinthians 12, about visions and revelations. Things that he knew about that nobody else knew about. Because he'd been where nobody else had been and come back to earth. He'd been there, visions and revelations. He says, I'm not going to glory in those visions and revelations. Ah, says Paul, you know, that's the reason why I've got a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to keep me humble. Because, you see, I've had experiences that nobody else has had. And I've seen the glories. Yes, I've seen the glories in paradise. And I've touched the walls of the third heaven. I've had terrific experience. Said God, I give you a thorn in the flesh to keep you humble. So you don't go around the world boasting about what you've seen, Paul, and what you've experienced, Paul. And remember, you're not saying a word about what you've seen, what you've experienced. These are unspeakable things. But Paul never talked about it. So he didn't, as it were, take away the veil that hides from our eyes the wonders of paradise and the wonders of the third heaven. No, he didn't do that. All he does do at a later date, he says, depart to be with Christ. And you say, no, Paul, you're going to guess. No, says Paul, I've been there. I know. To depart to be with Christ, which is far. I'm not to say any more. What he did now on the other side was far better. He went eventually by the way of decapitation to the other side. Confident of the fact he was going to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. In fact, he lived in a narrow strip between two, feeling the pull of heaven and the pull of earth because of the saints. And one day the pull of heaven exceeded the pull of earth. He went the other side. The view was far better. And if what Paul knew of paradise and what Paul knew of the third heaven was so terrifically wonderful that he needed a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble, you'll agree with me, it must be a wonderful place. undescribable as far as human language is concerned, entrancing to Paul's soul, calculated to make him heady and high-minded, something to boast about for what he's seen. Not allowed to talk about it. But it must have been a wonderful experience. My dear widow, my dear widower here, your loved one is going to be with Christ. I know it's no comfort to you in your loneliness, but I want to think of the ecstatic joy that was a portion of that loved one when he or she slipped into eternity. The thrill of the wonders of paradise. Gazing on the face of the Lord Jesus. I don't know whether saints see one another in heaven. Don't know anything about it. Don't know what they discuss in paradise. Not told anything about that. But I gather from passages like this that paradise is the most wonderful garden that you would ever conceive, and more wonderful even than that. Paul says, I was caught up into paradise. That's where that loved one of yours is at this moment. In paradise. And now to close quickly, I go to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. I ask myself a question now, what's the occupation of the hosts in paradise? It says to him that overcometh, and at least in those first three or four of the letters of the churches, the overcomer is every saint of God. Our faith has overcome the world. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus, settled and sure. And as overcomers, we come to that verse, to him that overcometh. Will I grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God? All the things that are in Exodus, in Genesis, are taken up in the book of the Revelation. There they're seen in all their beauty, the answer to all that was lost in Genesis is the glorious Lord Jesus of the book of the Revelation. He is the tree of life. To him that overcometh, will I grant to eat of the tree of life. Notice, there's a tree of life there. There's no tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's no tempter there and never will be. There's no danger of a fall there. There's no danger of any kind of defilement there. In that place that cannot be sullied, it cannot in its holiness ever be tarnished. And in that lovely place they eat, they take in, they digest eternally, they eat of the tree of life, Christ, which is in the midst, he's always in the midst. In the midst of the paradise of God. I say, sit down, I want to say this. That dear loved one of yours, and you yourself, found immeasurable delight. As Lord's Day after Lord's Day, they came and sat with the saints, spending one brief hour feeding on Christ. The thrill of it touched their souls, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. Think of what it means to die in the presence of the Lord, feeding on Christ. And to them, it's Christ, and it's more Christ, and it's more and more of Christ. And every time they taste of Christ, he's absolutely sweet, and he's getting sweeter. And they'll feed upon Christ, and they'll feed on Christ forever. They eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.